We'd like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to help further the building of His kingdom, you may go to our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. Our radio this morning is sponsored by Jane Hastings in honor of Gerald's 90th birthday. And our flowers today were sponsored by Buck and Karen Rogers in honor of their 40th wedding anniversary. Please mark on your calendars our next community meal. It will be October 21st from 5 to 7 p.m. If you didn't get filled with the Oktoberfest, join us for brats and sausage, sauerkraut, potato salad, and cake. Lots of food and fellowship here at Trinity United Methodist at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. It's fall. Next week, our church will be enjoying a great outdoors at the Jackson Washington Forestry. Our Sunday morning service will begin at 10 a.m. Immediately following the service, we'll be having a pitch-in lunch. Please join us at the Museum Shelter House at the Jackson Washington Forestry on October 22nd. Also, on October the 31st from 6 to 8 p.m., please join us in the back parking lot as we will be having fun with the kids trunk or treating. Everyone is invited to stop by to trick or treat. Please join us here at Trinity United Methodist at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour. Our scripture this morning is from Exodus 22, 1 through 16. And in your pie...
32. 32, 1 through 16.
In your, the scripture is, I've got it.
Okay.
If you want to use your pew Bible, it's on page 86. The golden calf. When the people saw that Moses was long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods. We will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who has brought us up out of the Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing, and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol, cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with the tool. He then said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." So the next day the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people whom you brought up out of Egypt have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt.' I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them, when I will make you into a great nation." But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. "O Lord," he said, "why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth. Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster to your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, I will make your descendants be numerous as the stars in the sky. I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever. Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people with disaster he had threatened. Moses turned and went down the mountain with two tablets of the testimony in his hands. They were inscribed on both sides, front and back. The tablets were to work of God. The writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. Our sermon this morning is Idols by Pastor Angel Armstrong.
Have you ever waited for someone or something so long that you just didn't think you could stand it? You couldn't wait anymore. I'm terrible at waiting. Whether it is waiting on a letter to arrive or whether it is waiting for a repairman to come. You know, they say, we'll be there sometime between 10 and 4. You know how you get them to come? Jump in the shower. They'll be right there. Or maybe you're the repairman waiting to get paid. Waiting is difficult. I had a friend once challenge me on waiting. She said, when you go to the grocery store, go to the longest line there and wait. She also told me, let people go in front of you, which is okay until people get behind you. Then they get a little grumpy about that, so can't do that anymore. It is difficult to wait. It's a miserable experience sometimes. Parents have the miserable experience of waiting for their children to get home. You've agreed upon the curfew time, and the hour comes and goes, and she's still not home. You convince yourself, it's okay. She'll be here any minute. Tick, 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 tick. The longer the clock keeps ticking, the more your brain begins to arm wrestle back and forth with worry and anger. And you start freaking out. And what parent here has not imagined their child laying in a ditch when they're late for coming home? How many children really end up in a ditch? But we all tend to imagine our children there. We think the worst thing possible as time goes on. And about the time we're ready to blow a gasket, headlights appear in the driveway. To be fair, youth have to do some waiting too. Wait till you grow up. Wait till you're old enough. Wait until your father comes home. And that waiting for the day where they go and take their driver license test. Although, I don't know, today there's people 18, 20, 25 that don't seem to be interested in it. My kids at 15 and 1 month could tell you what day they were going to take their driver's license test, and they anxiously awaited for it. Kids wait for the day that they get to go off to college because they get to be on their own. It is a difficult thing to wait, but we all do it. The people of Israel did not handle waiting nearly as well as some of us might. Moses, their leader, the one who had gotten them this far, had gone up on the mountain, and it didn't seem like he was ever going to come back down. They waited at the bottom of the mountain, pacing back and forth, getting upset, imagining the worst things in their minds. You know, I know that they had heard the story of Enoch. Enoch was an ancient story. God had walked with Enoch. And then God took Enoch. So they began imagining that Moses went up on the mountain to be with God. So maybe God took Moses too. And in that case, he wasn't ever coming back. And what were they going to do? Well, they decided that Aaron, Moses' brother, had to be the next in line for command. So they all gathered up together and confronted Aaron. You make for us gods. Make gods who will go before us. They wanted something real and tangible that they could touch, that they could hold on to calm their anxiety and their fears. And to be fair, the road ahead of them was uncertain, and the road behind them was filled with betrayals, deprivation, and cruel treatment. Pharaoh had treated them cruel. He had passed an order saying to kill all of the baby Hebrew boys. And then, to make matters even worse, he told their taskmasters to make it more difficult on them to do their chores. They had counted on God. They had worshipped God throughout the slavery. And all of a sudden, the taskmasters told them they had to make as many bricks as they had been making before. But they neglected to give them the straw to mix with the mud to make the bricks. So now they had to go and get the straw, get the mud, and keep continuing to turn these bricks out as if they were some kind of factory while being treated cruelly. They had begun to question if the Lord was really in this whole entire mess. Moses' trip up the mountain was actually a high point in their journey. Reaching Mount Sinai was a celebrated, important milestone for them. And just before Moses left, he had a huge worship service and he consecrated the people to serve God. And they promised to serve God. They said, everything the Lord has spoken, we will do. Exodus 19:8. Things were going really well when Moses went up the mountain. But the longer Moses stayed, the longer they got anxious and worried. The waiting began to get to the people. They seemed to feed each other's anxieties and fears. Have you ever noticed that? When we get restless and we get scared, it doesn't seem that one person rises up and begins to calm people down. But we all start feeding into one another's fears. What if this? What if that? Well, this could have happened. They began to panic. And together, they went to Aaron and demanded that Aaron make a god that they could follow, a God that they could see. In the waiting and in the frustration, all of their old securities surfaced. Have you ever had that happen? When you're not spending enough time with God and something goes awry in your life, old insecurities get triggered. And you start to fear things that you once overcame. The key is that we continue to trust God, walk with Him, fill ourselves daily with His Word, and worship and adoration towards Him. What the people wanted was for Aaron to make a god for them. But they didn't so much want to change religions. They told Aaron, come and make gods for us who shall go before us. 32:1. Their past had been difficult and their future was uncertain. They had not turned their backs completely on the Lord. For after Aaron made the golden calf, he said, "Tomorrow we will have a festival to the Lord." They rationalized and justified. "We're not doing anything wrong. We still worship God. We just want something we can hold on to. Our future is scary, and I have to have something that I can trust in." We do that too. We invest our money. We put it in the bank. That money ends up becoming an idol. We rely on other people's input and other people's wisdom rather than praying and seeking God's will. Ever since 9/11, we worry. The old insecurities come up. What if today is the day that the terrorists attack again? And I don't know about you, but with the fact that Israel is at war, I begin to wonder how long before war breaks out on our soil. Sadly, we put our trust and faith in our military might rather than putting it in God. Do you remember Gideon? God told Gideon to come from 3,000 men down to 300 men, the men who cupped the water, and they won. Yes, I respect our military with all my heart. Pray for them daily. But my ultimate trust and faith is in the good and gracious God that made us, not in the weapons of mass destruction that may or may not protect us. They didn't think they were doing anything wrong. Life had been really tough. And who knew what was around the next corner? They just wanted some security. Wanting some security in and of itself isn't a bad thing. But if we replace that security with our faith, with our trust, with our worship of our good and gracious God, we shortchange ourselves and we become weak and fearful. They wanted to control God. They wanted God to bend to their wishes. They wanted God to do what they wanted to happen. And that never ends well. Have you ever tried that in your prayers? "God, I want you to do that. I know I've done it. I know that I've done it. Rather than telling God, "This is what's happening, and I trust you to lead us through." We can't control God. He is way too powerful for us to try to control, for him to bend to our wishes. We could go on and on and on and list their insecurities and our anxieties. Lord knows we have enough anxieties in our world today. How do we protect our children with our world's fascination for sex? With our world's fascination for drugs and alcohol? When there is pain, we reach out outside of ourselves instead of reaching to God. We try to fill a hole in us that only God can fill with sex, drugs, alcohol, food, whatever else it might be. When God is requesting us to come before him, trust him and he will set us at peace. How many times have you felt the peace that surpasses all understanding in recent loss? You know because you know that God is there. Even when it is difficult. When the cancer diagnosis comes. We tend to want to put our faith and trust in the newest medicine and in the doctors. And that is not a bad thing in and of itself. But we have to put our faith and our trust first and foremost in God. Otherwise, things become an idol. We just want something that we can hold on to. Something that gives us security. And that, beloved, is when we open the door for idolatry. Idolatry isn't bowing before a statue. It's not being secure enough to trust the unseen God with an uncertain future. Idolatry is being afraid to make ourselves vulnerable to God's future, even when we don't quite know where we are going. Our temptation to idolatry is doubting that God alone is not enough. The Israelites still believed in God. They didn't change their religion. They just wanted to add something else to it, to put something else before God. The passage makes clear that idolatry is not an individual thing, that it is often a group thing. When we begin to panic about how our place of employment is going, about whether or not our church is growing, about how our country is doing, we have the tendency to reach outside of ourselves for things other than our good and gracious God. And that, beloved, when we put them before God, when we spend more time thinking about that, when we spend more time watching the news than we do praying, that is idolatry. When we spend more time thinking about where we've invested our money and how it will carry us through the future, that is idolatry. God knows our anxiety. With Moses' persuasion, God forgave the people of Israel for having made the golden calf. Eventually, the people set out on their journey again, walking into the unknown. God forgives our acts of unfaith as we clutch hold of some idol, some string, some rope, something we think will save us. God forgives us time and time again and invites us back into the only thing that is going to give us peace and faith, His presence and His word. Israel wanted gods that would go before them. We have a Savior who has gone before us. Our Savior came from heaven to earth to show us how to live with one another, to show us the true depth of the Father's love. He died upon the cross for our sins. He walks ahead of us, and we can put our faith and our security in Him. We get no guarantees in life that everything will work out just the way we want it. But we do get complete and absolute assurance that God walks with us every day, every breath, every prayer, that He will restore us unto Himself when we come before Him. God has shown us grace in Jesus Christ. God is with us through His Holy Spirit. And in this time of anxiety, in our fears, let us not seek idols and golden calves. Let us seek only God. All of history and what lies beyond history is in God's hands. God is faithful and God is just. Join me in prayer. Father God, we come before You now, repenting of our fear repenting of our anxiety, placing our trust fully in you. And Lord, when we begin to fade, and when we look for something that we can touch, smell, see, and hold on to, we ask that you would listen to the depth of our hearts, that you would know that those are only our fears and anxieties talking. But in our hearts, when you listen to them, you know just how much we love and trust you.
How do you explain? How do you describe a love that goes from east to west and runs as deep as it is wide? You know all our hopes, Lord, you know all our fears. Words could not express the love we feel, but we long for you to hear. So listen to our heart, hear our spirit sing, a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. Words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But when words are not enough to tell you of our love, just listen to our hearts. If words could fall like rain from these lips of mine, if I had 1,000 years, I would still run out of time. So if you listen to my heart, every beat will say, thank you for the life, thank you for the truth, thank you for the way. Listen to our heart,
please listen,
hear our spirit sing,
and hear us sing,
a song of praise that flows, from those you have redeemed,
you have redeemed,
and we will use the words we know, to tell you what an awesome God. But when words are not enough to tell you of our love, just listen to our hearts. Listen to my heart, every beat will say, thank you for the light, thank you for the truth, thank you for the way. And listen to our heart,
please listen,
hear our spirit sing,
hear us sing.
Song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. We will use the words we know to tell you what.
I'm not enough. Tell you of our love. Just listen to our hearts. When words are not enough to tell you of our love. Just listen to our hearts.